Empire.
Seventh inning here. The Angels go back into the bullpen once again.
Yeah, Ty Buttrey coming into the game. He's got good numbers. Strikeout pitcher, 38 and two-thirds innings, 47 strikeouts, only 11 walks. Pumps the first fastball, his strikeout line, as you're talking about CJ in the Angel bullpen.
Yeah, this guy has worked out really well. Traded for Ian Kinsler a year ago for the Boston. Certainly could have used a guy like Ty Buttrey.
Triple Play Fantasy's baseball show with D. Mindy, Lil Cheesecake, and Doc starts now.
Yeah, you can everybody keep a guy like Ty Buttrey. So go ahead, Eric. Take it from that awesome announcer.
Oh, man. Well, I don't know how I can top that, but we welcome in a man who isn't afraid to be himself. A former MLB pitcher who had 8 wins and 11 saves in 3 seasons. He is now the co-founder of Drip Social, where him and Sam talk NFTs, personal growth, and seltzer / pickle reviews. We can call him a friend of the show because this is his second time coming on. We welcome in Ty Buttrey. What's going on?
What's going on, Eric and David? Thanks for having me, man. CEO of Drip Social. I don't even know. Honestly, I don't even know what Sam and I are doing. We're doing seltzer reviews. We're doing pickle reviews. We're talking NFTs, personal growth. We're jumping in, you know, cold tubs and red lights. So we're just, you know, we're living life, man. We're living our passions. We're trying to build something. But no, man, I appreciate you guys having me on. This is cool to be here for the second time.
Ty, so I have a question before Eric jumps in here. I did not do enough of my homework on you, so I need to ask. The seltzer reviews, are they like alcoholic seltzer reviews?
Yes, they are.
So wait, have you had High Noons yet?
Oh my gosh.
Yes. I'm a big fan of the High Noon. I think I'm not crazy about it's a pretty like strong it's a pretty strong flavor, man. Like I actually kind of Sam loves them. I'm not a big fan of the vodka and like the hard seltzers. Like I like more of like the malt liquor, like, you know, the White Claws, the Trulies, the Funky Buddhas. Everyone's doing their own thing with seltzers now, so it is what it is.
Man, that's a dagger to my heart, Ty.
Man, David,
I'm
not getting sponsored by High Noon yet. You talk about him every occasion you can.
I mean, if it's fed to me like this, I mean, I have to ask. So, but I respect Ty's opinion.
So, Ty, last time we spoke, it was prior to the pandemic shortened season. How was playing through that?
It was one of the worst things I've ever been a part of. Absolutely terrible. And I know that's pretty like direct and harsh, but it's the truth, man. It's whenever there's no fans in baseball, I didn't realize that's, you know, I'm doing a lot of reflecting and kind of gathering some different perspective, you know, now being 4 months out of the game. And like, that's really when things for me started to change, you know, when we had to show up to the field every day, and I, you know, obviously we had to follow protocol. I'm not going to sit there and go down that path, but man, it's just is like, for me, the fans, like, that's why I love doing social media. Like, I love, even before now, like, I was always trying to stay engaged. I was always trying to break down that barrier between the athlete and the fan. I think that's very important in sports to have that open, you know, relationship. And obviously there are some fans out there that may take advantage of that. But I think, you know, we do this for the fans. We do this for people that enjoy it. You know, they paid the bills. I mean, ultimately that's who pays our bills and pays our, these big salaries. And so when, COVID happened, man, and fans were ripped out of there, you know, what was left? I mean, it was a game of baseball, which, you know, no cheering. You have fake, you know, stadium noise,
the cutout fans,
the cutouts, like you're trying to get jacked up, you're trying to play for something bigger. It's like, it just, to me, it wasn't baseball, but it was the situation it was, and there's nothing we could do about it.
And fortunately the Angels didn't have any huge outbreaks like we saw the Nationals and the Cardinals have, where, you know, games were postponed and they had a lot of double headers. What was kind of the motivational tactics that they used? Obviously, in a 60-game season, expanded playoffs, everything carries a little bit more relevancy. Each game's a little bit more important. But without the fans there, you're right. That's a huge kind of element that you're missing, especially at home. what did they try to do to get you, you know, excited for each game and motivated and ready to play?
The same thing that we were doing, you know, in prior years. I mean, that's where I think we kind of, I think everything kind of fell short, but I'm not going to throw blame because it was the first time something like this happened. So no one had any plan. No one had any real idea. We all were just trying to not lose players for COVID. You know, you lose a player, the whole thing gets thrown out of whack. And it just is like, it just was a very, it was just a hard situation, man. But like to get motivated, like that's literally like, so for me, like my biggest moments were in big time situations, a lot of fans screaming at me. Like I thrived off that. And so that's why it was so tough for me to continue to stay motivated. Like I remember many times being called to go in a pitch to close. And like I'm drinking Red Bulls, like I'm trying to get myself, like I'm doing like fast breathing to get my heart rate up. I'm doing like sprints in the bullpen, you know, just to get some type of adrenaline. And then you run in there and it's just quiet. And you're like, what is this? Like, this is like back, you know, in the spring training field, you know, like this isn't baseball. Like this isn't what I wanted to do. And that's when like I started really reflecting and thinking about it. And yeah, man, you didn't really do anything it had to come from within. And unfortunately for me, I had a hard time creating that motivation without the fan base.
Yeah. And so Ty, kind of building off of that, you're one of, obviously, again, one of the guys we talked to, one of the first guys we actually talked to about a year ago. And we all had to like double check our phones when we were like, wait, Ty Buttrey retired? Like what happened? And, you made kind of, some ripple effects with that on April 4th. Some things cited you as saying you lost your love for the game, that, you kept playing to prove everyone wrong, but also that you were tired of pretending. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I was tired of pretending because ultimately, you know, as baseball players or as athletes, we have to go out there and we have to wear that uniform as an athlete everywhere we go. And that comes with sacrifices. That comes with, you know, not doing certain things on maybe social media or maybe not starting, other side businesses or maybe, you know, or even going into the fans, like, you know, having to sit there and put on smiles when you're not really happy with your situation. And that's kind of when COVID happened and we came back this year and there still wasn't fans there. And there was just like, to me, it was just like this fake, like, it was this fake culture. It's like, why are we acting like we are all sitting here and everything's normal? Like, to me, it's not normal. You know, we have 25% capacity. We're still sitting, you know, we still can't really interact with the fans. It's still this weird, like, barrier up. And that's when, like, I started really kind of reflecting, like, okay, why am I playing this game? You know, it, like, why am I thinking back? Like, why did I spend all those, you know, 6 years in the minor leagues? Those long bus rides, being away from my family. And that's when I started like really reflecting on my goals. And like, it was always about money, man. It was always about wanting to get, you know, 3 for $10 million. I mean, I literally in my head from the time I was a young kid, like I wanted to be a baseball player because I was big and strong and everyone told me how hard I was going to throw and how good I am. And you kind of start believing that stuff. You know, you start believing when you're a young kid, wow, I am tall. I am big. I can throw a ball hard. I'm a good athlete. And oh my gosh, I can make $50 million doing this. And like, what young kid, I said that in the article, like what young kid doesn't want to have a cool job that pays really well? But like going back as my childhood, like I loved hitting. I loved like playing the outfield. I loved being part of the team and pitching, you know. To me, baseball is kind of two sports. You got pitching, you got hitting. And, you know, I'm not going to say I would rather have been like a hitter, but like to me, I'm pretending because I'm doing it for selfish reasons. Like I'm doing it for making money, man. And like that's, I get that we're all in life to make money. We all want to have success. We all want to have a little bit of fame. We all want to make money, but I made the money. I had the fame. And I still was unhappy. And to me, that was a big red flag that feeling was never going to go away. And taking all that time away from my wife and my family and then not having the fans with COVID, it was like, I'm tired. Like, you know what, man, I'm tired of pretending. Like during that COVID break, guys, like my wife and I spent that time in that RV. We did some of the coolest things I've ever done in my life. We had the most fun. It was the best our marriage ever was. We were in a 350 square foot little steel, you know, RV box, and the happiest I've ever been in my life. And insert baseball again. And all of a sudden I'm kind of, you know, I get that anxiety feeling. I'm like, there's something here. And that's, you know, that personal growth stuff I've talked about, the meditation, all those things I've done to get clarity in my life. That's what it was kind of revealed. So I know that's a long answer, but.
No, I think it's a great answer. And hopefully you showed up that teacher that said that you weren't going to make it to the MLB. I read that in an article as well.
Yeah, the RV, isn't that named Thor Outlaw? I think I read.
Yeah, the Thor Outlaw. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. We still have it. I'm actually trying to dump that thing. I need to try to sell it, but Sam and I want to take a couple more trips in it, so we'll see.
You remember that's the first time we talked with you. You were going on a camping trip in your RV, yep. And you went in there, and you're like, "Yeah, guys, I'm on the road in the RV. Let's do this thing."
I know. For sure.
So, Ty, obviously, you know, it sounds like retirement had been on your mind for a little bit. Was there anything about baseball that was drawing you back in that you said, you know, maybe I'll put up with it for one more year. Maybe I'll try to get paid. You know, maybe it's hard for me to leave the clubhouse and the fraternity that I've been in my entire life. Was there anything that really kind of drew you back?
So I will say when I first made the decision, I was pretty emotional about it, but I also, for the most part, believed in that decision 100%. And I was good, man, for about like a month, 2 months. Like, I was like, there was no part of me that wants to go back at all, you know? And I will say, when I saw Texas being the first stadium to be full capacity, and I saw, you know, all those fans there, I literally, like, I didn't have a panic attack. I just was like, whoa. I was like, that moment, like, literally crept back in my head of, like, oh, my gosh. Like, that's baseball right there. Like, that's what baseball is. And then seeing Angel Stadium, you know, fill up again, I kind of, like, started to be like, man, like, that would be so cool to, like, get back in there, like, running in with that adrenaline, having that natural motivation from the fans and, you know, the atmosphere. But then, like, you know, that was, like, that's what kept me playing, and that's what kind of kept me into me, like, that hamster wheel. Not in a bad way. It just was like, all right, this, like, I'm doing this for the fans, and I'm doing this, and I'm not doing this for Ty. And that's when I said, like, I'm tired of pretending. Like, I love the fans. Like, they're the ones who kept me playing, kept me working hard. But, like, when I said, like, I'm tired of pretending, it's like, am I doing this for Ty? Like, does Ty really want to win, you know, become an all-star? No. Like, does Ty want to win a World Series? Hell yeah. Like, that'd be cool. Like, I would love to win a World Series. But, like, is it in my heart and soul that I want to go out there and, like, you know, and like, I just started questioning my intention, and I'm like, okay, so you're going to be at the baseball field for 11 hours a day, over 200 days out of the year. You're going to have a long distance relationship again with your wife. You're not going to be able to pursue other passions of building and doing real estate and investing and, you know, social media. And that's kind of like that athlete identity, you know, that athlete identity is like, listen, you're a baseball player. Like, obviously Trevor Bauer went against the grain, and he's in his own world right now doing what he has, you know, taking care of that. But, like, you don't really see too many athletes having these side hustles. And to me, I think that needs to be more popular, man. I think, you know, it gives athletes another identity outside of just being when you're at the field, you're in that uniform. You represent the club. Obviously, you represent the club and the fan base everywhere you go. But, like, I just want to do other stuff, man. So, you know, that's kind of what I got.
Do teams dislike when you have a side hustle? Do they feel like you're not fully committed to baseball if you're exploring other opportunities?
Depends on who you are. If you're kind of like a big dog, you know, you got some power, you got some money, you got some years, you're a veteran. It's nothing really they can say. If you're a 1 to 4 year guy and you're kind of a rookie, yeah, like, hell yeah. Like, it's definitely not, you know, they want you focused. And that's the thing. It's like, the more I focused on other issues or other hustles, like, the better I was at baseball. Like, when I was just focused on baseball, like, I couldn't do that. Like, I just didn't want any part of the game when I was only focused on baseball, because I put so much hard work into the game already that, like, I was already focused on it so much I needed other outlets. And so, like, yeah, like, teams definitely, you know, they're not going to flat out say, like, no, you can't start a real estate side hustle. But, like, if, you know, if you're not acting like you're focused on it 24/7, then, you know, really that can kind of be an issue.
So one of the things that I want to talk about is the salary that MLB players and MILB players receive. And I think the average person thinks that everyone is millionaires based on the huge contracts we see for players like Fernando Tatis and Mike Trout. You know, obviously those are big amounts of money, but the majority of players don't receive that. And in late May, you made an Instagram post saying, quote, $2 an hour doesn't cut it, MLB. Minor league salary needs to elevate. Damn, I'm sorry. It may be closer to $4 an hour. It tagged MLB and MILB. I kind of want to give you the floor to expand on your thoughts.
I mean, it's pretty simple. It's minor league baseball players are part of this elite skill set, right? You know, when you get drafted, to just go and play on your varsity baseball team is an accomplishment. Then to get and go play college baseball, that's another accomplishment. And then to get drafted and actually get paid money, which is nothing, that's now you're part of this elite skill set. You know, now you're part of this 1% of people in the world that can't, you know, that you can do something that other people can't. And so when I look at that and I kind of take that into account, I take into the account that, you know, 18-year-old kids are taken out of high school. Some, you know, $200,000. If you're a high school kid, usually get a little bit more. Maybe it's 100K. You know, college players, $1,000, $10,000. But here's the thing. It's a 7-year contract, you know, like it's a 7-year contract. So that signing bonus for me, I had a very cushiony, nice, comfortable signing bonus. And, you know, that it made my time in the minor leagues way, way easier. I was still on those bus rides. I was still eating the same shitty food. I saw everything that was going on. And to me, that lifestyle, to be considered a prospect, to be considered this 1% elite group, and then you have the teams not paying, you know, for that salary because they don't have to, because they have the control. There's no minor league union. There's no representation. You know, the players union is the one deciding and fighting for this, and they're obviously focused on the major league guys. And when minor league guys get called up into the MLB, like myself, we shut up. I regret it to this day that I didn't talk more about that because I was afraid to kind of bite the hand that feeds me. And to me, it's unacceptable, man. It's something that you have guys, you know, in order to win, right? You want to take care of your investments. I'm telling you, these owners, MLB has so much damn money, so much money that you guys, it's unbelievable that if they wanted to fix the problem, they could do it just with a snap. Like, hey, here you guys go. Here's 40K. Take care of your family. You know, yes, they get healthcare. But the fact that I have to say, yes, they get healthcare, like that's where we're at right now. Like it's $10,000. Like these guys are getting $10,000 after taxes, $12,000 before taxes to play 6 months out of the year, man. And it's like, that's the season. Then you have 2 months of spring training and then you have to get sent down to extended spring training for another month. And who knows, maybe you go to a strength camp for another month. So let's just like put this into perspective, right? You know, a senior sign gets $1,000. He's got a girlfriend, you know, they get married. He's 24, 25. He wants to have kids. He wants to live life too. He wants to have another passion outside of baseball. So he has kids. Well, what if mom and dad can't take him in like mom and dad took me in? You know, like I had all this money and I still stayed with my mom and dad to save money. It's like, you know, now he gets married, he has kids, and because he's a senior sign, there's some, you know, politics involved with being called up. Maybe he's a great, you know, I've seen guys in AAA hit 300 every single year and they don't get a shot at the big leagues because they got the prospects. It's backloaded. The team manipulates them just for one day. Maybe he hits 400 and he goes off for 40, you know, hits 30 home runs in AAA. Okay, then we'll call him up. But like you get these guys, man, that sacrifice, they, they've sacrificed everything their whole life, you know, from the time they were 5 years old, man, playing baseball. And now they're in a situation where it's like, oh crap, like I can get to the MLB. But a lot of guys, we all know, then that's that other 1% jump, you know, from the 1%. And it's like, what happens to those players, man, that are 27, 28? Like, where are their life experiences? What skill sets, you know, life knowledge do they have to go back into life and to have a no, you know, that's what, like, have we ever wondered why so many baseball players just go back into coaching? Like, that's their only fallback is guys go back into coaching because they don't have college degrees or they don't have any other, work experience. And so, hey, coaching, and then they start the grind all back over to then get up into the big leagues as a coach. It's like, dude, that's just such a toxic environment when you look at it like that, man. So I call out MLB, because why the hell not? You know, like, why not call them out? And because I think what you were saying is like, people truly think that minor league players are rich. Like, I, not rich, but like,
they're comfortable.
They're comfortable. Yeah. Very comfortable. Like, hey, you're a professional baseball player. You make a lot of money.
Shut up and play.
Yeah. Like, shut up and play. If you don't like it, play better. I've sat there. I've heard coaches say, if you don't like it, play better. And that's what I said in my Instagram reel. Well, how are you supposed to play better? Because in order to play better, you have to train in the off season, right? You have to go in and you have to spend time in the gym, hours at the field, working on your craft. But what if you have a family? What if you have a, you know, wife and kids that you need to provide? That's more important than baseball. It just is. Taking care of your family is more important than baseball, hands down. So that means you have to get a job somewhere else. You spend hours doing a job that isn't benefiting you to work and play better. So it's like, it's this control. It's this ultimate control that has been set up and the chain's never been broken. And it's been a cycle. And that's where I think it's ridiculous to me. And that's why I call them out, because
I was just going to say, I think that they do need to be called out. I'm wondering, I mean, like you said, they have so much money. I'm wondering if, hey, like, what can we do to meet in the middle here? Obviously, there's a potential lockout that's looming, right? That everybody's been talking about that. And I think that's one of the first things the MLBPA, of course, is going to ask for, you know, the universal DH, and they're going to ask for some, I think, things that are more surface level that people see. But I'm surprised that something like that would not be the at the forefront. Because so many baseball players are going to be more affected if they change the minor leagues before they focus on big league stuff. Do you feel like that should be where they attack first? Would they're like, when they actually meet potentially this summer?
I think the players union has an opportunity to kind of win over the public by putting the minor leagues first. I don't think they're going to, because, like I said, there's no minor league representation. The players union is for the MLB. It's a prestigious honor to get to the MLB. It's even more of a prestigious honor to play multiple years. And then it's even more to play 10 years. And so we got to understand that, you know, the MLB, there's manipulation going on with there and at that level. And so to say, are they going to put this issue forefront? Hell no. No, it's not. It's definitely won't happen like that, because, you know what, man? And like I said, when you're in the minor leagues, you get up into the MLB, and I did it firsthand. I was like, I did it. I made it. I worked my ass off. I put in all that time, and here I am. And you get that money, you get that fame, you get that attention. And it's very, very hard to go back and reflect on all those times, all those, you know, those moments in the minors when you're like, damn, like, you're thinking back, you know, you're looking at your buddies that don't have a nice signing bonus. You know, they don't have a nice family that they can go and hang out with and save money. You know, they don't have those luxuries. You forget about that stuff, man. So you're not going to fight for it because you're worried about the team you're on. You're not worried about anything else. And that's why there's a big saying, like, when I first got into Boston, it was beat into our heads, not because of this, but because baseball is such a game where you can't control what you can control. Like, worry about what you can worry about. Like, that's a huge philosophy in baseball that, like, a lot of players go by. You know, if you don't like it, play better. And so, like, that's the culture. And so with that being the culture, it's going to be very, very difficult. I actually don't think there's really going to be much change with the union. I don't think the union's going to take it up. I'm not calling out the union because I just think we're really early on this. And I think it's just at this point, we've seen courts shoot down the pay. We've seen some things happen. And the loopholes usually, well, they're considered part-time. But, man, I'm telling you, minor league baseball is anything but part-time. That's the biggest BS, but that's how they've kind of been able to get away with paying these guys $4 an hour because it's considered part-time work. It's like, come on, man. You know that these guys have 3 months in the offseason, and their asses will be right back into spring training, right under your little puppeteer control. So I don't think the new CBA is honestly going to be focused on the minor league pay whatsoever.
It kind of sounds like the college basketball and football where it's like, oh, hey, you're a student first and an athlete second, but yet we can monetize and make millions and billions of dollars off NCAA-sponsored events, the tournaments, their likeness and image, and we're kind of seeing a transition to that. But I want to talk about kind of what we saw with this past trade deadline. And it seems like people were either huge buyers or sellers, and it seems like the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Padres going all in, and the Nationals and Cubs sold players for pennies on the dollars. And, you know, we saw this in the offseason. The Rockies traded Nolan Arenado and $50 million to the Cardinals just to take him off their hands and to not have to pay the rest of that contract. So with no salary cap, a team's commitment seems based on how much these billionaire owners are willing to spend. And they're all billionaires.
Does the
owner's willingness to spend affect one's commitment to a team? Like if you're on the Rockies and you know there's not a chance you're going to get paid, do you think that kind of plays into your head a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's teams, you know, we all know the organizations that are going to pay, and we all know the organizations that aren't going to pay. And that's the manipulation, and that's what's going on. Like, that's what the big league guys are fighting for. And that's why I'm saying, like, there's so much manipulation. Like, the minor leagues, like, it's just like, this is how big it is, like, in terms of, like, where it is and the attention and, like, the priority list for the union to fight. Because, like, that, like, what you just said, like, teams can just be like, oh, we're going to use you for 5 years. You're going to give us some World Series. And then right before we're going to, like, you know, give you that big money, we're going to ship you out, and I'm going to save even more money. I'm going to hit my profit margins. I'm going to give my board of directors, you know, they're going to give me a pat on my back, and everybody in the organization, you know, the people that help me keep it under that salary cap, you're going to get the bonus. And it's like, that's where I said in that letter, it's like the game of baseball started to be more of a business than it did a game. And it's the reality, guys. I'm not sitting here saying that I'm woe is me. I'm just calling out the perspective and the facts that I've seen. It's like, that's how the NFL is. That's how the NBA, like NBA is, they, you know, they do it right, but like to some degree, but like, man, like let's make this about the players. Let's make this about the fans. And if you get money from that, which you're going to get a lot of money from that, then I promise you, you're going to have a winning organization because everyone's going to be bought in. They're not going to be seeing manipulation going on. And I hate to see it, man, but like, there's just so much BS going on at the top that these guys, it's like, they can write a check like that. And, but everyone, you know, it's an ego, man. Those billionaire owners, they have an ego. It's like, how can I cut? I mean, when teams are furloughing, think about that. Think like, you want to put into perspective, during COVID, when teams are furloughing like their staff, like for 4 months. So like, you know, the worker, the attendance people, the trainers, nah, man, you're cut. We'll bring you back when we need you. You can go figure it out. You're not getting paid. It's like, what kind of business is that, man? Like to save 10 mil, to save 8 mil when you have, come on, man. Like, don't tell me you're saving, like you're losing money. Like you got so much damn money. You just don't want to dip into that personal piggy bank. You're using the revenue from the tickets, the sales. You have stacks in that personal piggy bank, but you don't want to dip into that because that's a hit on your ego. And you're a businessman. You made that bill. It's making me upset, but you guys kind of see where I'm going with this.
I guess. Yeah, I'm upset for you, man. I never played a lick of baseball in my life, and I'm like upset.
And you know what's interesting is we talk about them furloughing staff, and it's like, I guess one of the great things about social media is people, you know, can have news travel at a quicker thing. And I think of Josh Harris, the 76ers owner, when he furloughed staff last year, and somebody found out his net worth and called him out and said, you know, you're worth $4.3 billion, yet you can't pay $2.4 million. And it started this big wave. And eventually he reversed the decision and said, hey, look, it's people brought to my attention. So I guess I wanted to ask, what would your solution be? I think you've brought up a lot of great ideas of, hey, look, you know, the owners just need to not be as frugal. They need to not have their ego. It doesn't sound like they're willing to change that anytime soon. Do you think star players need to speak out? Do you think MILB players need to go on strike? Do you think they actually need to show videos of like the travel condition of the food they're eating? Like, what would your solution be to improve this problem?
That's Eric. That's literally, thank you for asking that, man. That's such a great point, because like, here's the thing, like one, guys at the top need to speak up. They just do. They have to speak up. I'm not mad at them. I'm not upset, because that's not my battle. They can do whatever they want. They're the OGs. They're the veterans. They've been there. I'm in the peanut gallery right now. You got to understand. I'm the one that walked away. I'm kind of, you know, the black sheep. And so guys at the top that have platforms can fix it like that too, if they really wanted to. But that's a huge distraction from the season. I think that needs to be done in the off season, maybe in spring training. But the one thing you said is, yes, go check out Minor League Grinders on Instagram. That's a great way. Go check out and see what these guys are going through. They have 42,000 followers, and I think it's 42,000 minor league baseball players. And I say that because the public has no idea. The public literally, like, somebody was saying, like, well, somebody asked me, they're like, well, are you going to start trying to, like, really fix the problem? They're like, are you going to actually start, you know, doing something about it? And I'm like, listen, man, they've had court cases. They've had lawsuits. They've had these things. They've gone to owners. They've gone to farm directors. And it just gets hushed. It gets silenced because the masses doesn't care. The masses has no idea. That's why I keep talking about $12,000 before taxes, $4 an hour. Because that's something that anybody that has a heart and a soul can be like, wait a second, $10,000? Wait, they're making $10,000? And that's like, that to me is like right now, the videos, you know, fundraisers, those are great. I got a buddy who's Halo's in the infield. He's actually selling shirts at cost and he wants to give to catering. That's great. That's anything that's going to create attention that these guys are so underpaid. And somebody was like, well, what about the WNBA? What about teachers? And what about people just, you know, they knew what they signed up for. That's actually not true. They didn't know. I can promise you, when these scouts are coming into your house in high school, they don't tell you that stuff purposely. But everyone's like, well, the WNBA is, you know, it's like, listen, guys, let's not get this twisted. I understand there's pay inequality going on around the whole entire world. I'm not fighting that battle. I have condolences and I support it. But I spent my time and I spent years and experience in this field. So I want to fight this battle because I see how messed up it is. I will support you in whatever battle that I think is the same. It's $10,000. Like, it's not 30. It's not 25. It's not 40. It's teachers. Yes. Teachers are making minimum 25, 30, 40 K. That's a joke. They're a teacher. I'm talking $10,000. And it's like, that's the issue. So raising that a point, bringing that awareness to the people, like you guys, I just posted something, Mike, whatever big time prospect hit a grand slam. The lady in it won $10,000. And Jeff Passan, he was like, so let me get this right. That minor league stadium can give $10,000 away to a random fan, but that's a minor league player's whole entire salary. It's like, you see kind of where it's like you don't see that in the MLB. You don't see someone saying, oh my God, Mike Trout hit a home run. Here's $450 million. You know, Ty Buttrey had, you know, through a perfect inning. Here's $600,000 to a perfect fan. No. But they're allowed to give $10,000 away like that because it's nothing to them.
It's nuts. That's, I mean, it's actually nuts. I mean, again, like, what do they expect you to do? I mean, you're away from your families, right, and you're making nothing. So it's not like you're being able to support your families either. It's right. Like, what's the, what, so the only win is the possibility you get called up and you get a contract. But like you said, for the, you know, high percent of people that never make it to the major leagues, they're kind of left high and dry. And I think that's what most people really need to take from this is, yeah, you know, the little salary they're making, but also the burden it puts on their personal lives and the stress of trying to make money. And it just sounds awful. And I can't believe that MLB has let this carry on for this long.
No one's going to fight it, man. So I guess it is awful. And it is to me, it's getting some more attention. I think, you know, Jeff Passan talking about it. I'm trying to raise some awareness to it. MLB, there's a Instagram page. They're doing some stuff. I don't want to say it wrong. Let me look it up because there's like an underscore in it. I don't want to make sure. More than baseball. NTB_org, more than baseball. He's really doing some great stuff. But yeah, so you're starting to see minor leaguers. So that's kind of a cool point is the generation, you know, this is a different generation of players coming up. And so social media, when I was playing, like social media is just really like everyone's using social media now. Businesses are going social media, everything's social. So people have voices now, you know, in the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s, 2010 to 2020, like, that's when you saw it. Social media first come on the scene was the last 10 years. And people are like, whoa, what's social media? I hate it. I'm not going to put myself out there. But now people are like, oh, picture of a dead cricket in my hamburger. Yeah, I'm going to post that online. Like every single, like, oh, I just got paid $600 for, you know, over 300 hours of work. Yeah, I'm going to tweet about that. And like people, like the generation coming up, they grew up on social. So it's normal to them. And those kids, I think it's like Gen Y or whatever. Like, I'm not sure what the generation under me is, but like those guys are ruthless, man. They don't care. Like they're savages. So they'll call out, they'll call BS where they see it.
Right? Yeah. And I was going to say, Ty, I think, you know, you mentioned Jeff bringing it to people's attention, but you're being the pioneer for it as well. You know, not a lot of people are willing to walk away from the game they love, especially when they've reached the major leagues and have kind of finally gotten there. And, you know, not everyone has a long career and some people want to milk the fame for as much as it's worth. And I really commend and applaud you for speaking out, for saying, look, there is life bigger than baseball. I wasn't happy and I want to be Ty. I don't want to be the baseball player and have that be my identity. I did tell you that when you came back, we were going to ask you a little bit more rapid fire, those bullpen questions. You still down for that? A little this or that?
Yeah, I'm down. I love it.
All right. But would you rather
me to answer things quickly, which I'm very bad at? I like to give a long-winded answer. So
it's good practice. No, you're fine. Would you rather throw over 100 miles an hour or hit over 100,000 Instagram followers? Ooh. Tough one off the bat, right?
Given my current situation, over 100,000 Instagram followers.
There we go.
I like it. We'll get you there.
Did you ever get to 100? I saw you like top that at 98 in one of your games.
I hit 100 probably, I think, like 6 or 7 times. I hit 102 in the fall league. Everyone hits 102 in the fall league, or everyone's throwing hard in the fall league for some reason. I think the guns are juiced. But no, I there was a couple games against the Red Sox in Seattle. I was at 100, but.
Like, okay, that's why I said over 100. I figure you did hit 100 a few times. Would you rather never get a paper cut again or never get anything stuck in your teeth again?
Oh my gosh, never get anything stuck in my teeth again. I hate that.
Oh, but those paper cuts hurt, man.
Yeah, but just be more careful. It's like you can't avoid getting stuff stuck in your teeth. You got to eat, man.
That's true. Would you rather be able to play 10 different instruments or speak 10 different languages?
Speak 10 different languages.
Okay, I like it.
Hesitation.
Yeah. Which one of these would you rather use for self-defense? A sword or nunchucks?
Oh, is this considering I know how to use both of them, or am I like...
Yeah.
Nunchucks.
Yeah, that'd be pretty badass, right?
Yeah, that would be badass.
I like that you asked, do I know how to use them? Because we all know how to use a sword. None of us know how to use nunchucks.
Swing, but like, if you know how to use nunchucks, you're, you know, okay. KO, dude.
Would you rather have a hook for an arm or a peg for a leg?
Hook for an arm.
Okay. All right. I think that's cool. Would you rather forget who you were or who everyone else was? I think I know your answer for this.
Would I rather forget who I was or who everyone else was? I would definitely rather forget who I was.
Wow, I thought you were going to go the opposite.
Yeah.
Okay. We got a few left. Would you rather find $10 on the ground?
Hold on, man. That question's like deep. That's not just a rapid question.
All right. Let's open it. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Like, can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
So, if I'm forgetting who I am, but like, I'll know my wife. I'll know everyone.
You'll know. Yeah, so, like, if you remember who you are, you know your Ty Buttrey, you know your life. If you forget who everyone else is, it's like you know who you are, but it's kind of like amnesia when you see everybody else.
Man, I got some good friends. I got some good family members. I got some good people in my life. I don't want to forget about them, man. I will stick to that. I want to forget about myself.
Wow. That's a good answer.
I just do.
The next one isn't as deep. Would you rather find $10 on the ground or find all your missing socks?
Well, considering I haven't worn socks in like the last 2 years, you guys got to remember, I lived in an RV for 10 months, man. I was doing some, we were out hiking. I didn't train. Yeah. I got smelly feet. It's a surprise.
You can use one utensil the rest of your life, a fork, spoon, or knife. Which one are you picking?
You can't use a fork?
Nope. Has to be one of those three.
Definitely a fork.
Okay. That's the right answer.
Yeah. You can do a lot with a fork.
Yeah. You know, everybody says, oh, soup or cereal, like you can slurp cereal or, you know, you can have chunky soup. You can't replicate the fork.
No, you can't. You need that.
Okay. We got the last two here.
Well, I do want to ask him at the end really quickly. Go ahead. And then there's something I have to show Ty real quick after you're done.
Okay. Would you rather eat overcooked or undercooked food?
Overcooked. 100%.
Okay, so no sushi for you?
I like sushi. I'm not a fan of it. I just, when you go undercooked, you're always running that risk of some little microbe that's not being killed off from the heat. And I hate getting sick. I hate throwing up. I hate stomach bugs. So I want to kill that shit. I want to make sure I'm good to go. I'd rather eat overcooked food.
There's a little side tidbit. Did you ever throw up on the mound? Like, we've seen Adrian Hauser throw up because he gets nervous. Did that ever happen to you in any game?
No, never threw up on the mound. I had some anxiety for sure for baseball because it was like a dread. Just like, I don't want to do this. It wasn't nerves. It was always like, in, like, my legs, my limbs were kind of feeling weird, but my stomach was always good.
Okay. All right. Glad to hear that you didn't join the Adrian Hauser Club. The last one we got here before David asks, would you rather constantly be tired no matter how much you sleep or constantly hungry no matter how much you eat?
Whoa.
That's hard.
I saved for last for a reason.
Definitely constantly hungry. I've read something that you can not eat food, and these guys are literally not eating food, and like it's some stupid crap I probably read on Instagram, but like these guys are not eating for like months and they're like happy and they're healthy. So being tired sucks.
Yeah.
So Ty, obviously we're a growing podcast. We're, you know, trying to get to where we're trying to get to. Eventually, hopefully full time one day. There is a more established podcast going by the CBS Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Had you heard of them by chance?
The CBS Fantasy Today podcast?
The CBS Fantasy Baseball Today podcast.
I have not. Maybe.
Okay, so they're the CBS, you know, fantasy baseball equivalent. So obviously we're kind of independent there, the CBS podcast. And okay. You were one of the things that they had on their show for a little bit. Like one of the guys named Scott White, he does a Michael Caine impression when talking about you because of your last name.
Yeah.
So I know they've done it before. They did it when you retired. They did an homage to it. I just wondered if you had heard it, but I was going to play it for you so you could get a reaction to it for the first time.
All right. Let's see what they got.
People that are talking in the YouTube chat right now, they're talking about potentially dropping.
Make sure I have my volume up here. Unmute this. Here we go.
Andrew Vaughn for Nate Love. And yeah. Vaughn actually...
No, I'm not. I'm not.
I'm going to have to find
Quintana, right. Jose Quintana and Luis.
Supposed to be right Counter. Here.
And Cedric the Young Man.
Oh, here we go.
And yeah, he is awesome. Scott, Ty Buttrey, man. I don't know if you have any feelings about Ty Buttrey. It's pretty late in the podcast. If you have anything to say about him, you can do it today. If you want to save it for tomorrow, do that too. But I'll leave it to you,
Scott. Let's hear it, Scott.
What you got?
I once knew a man named Lorenzo. Last name came like mine, only spelled differently. No E. So I went to the store for the first time in 2-3 years, walked on over to the bakery counter, and said to the young man, "Hello, sir. I'd like a scone with blueberries." He said to me, "Yes, sir. And how would you like that scone?" I gave him a little sideways look, because everybody knows by now how Michael Caine likes his scones. I said to him, "I'll take it the same way I take my toast.
Butter."
"No, sir. I'm afraid that's impossible." I said to him, "Well, then, I'll just take some toast, buttery." He said to me, "No, sir, you misunderstand me. It's not the scone that's the problem. It's the buttery." I said to him, "Now, how can it be possible for a bakery not to offer bread that's buttery?" He said to me, "Well, sir, the young man we hired to butter our bread has taken an early retirement." I said to him, "Well, sir, do you have anything else?" He said to me, "I do have some rye to sell." So ends the travails of the young pitcher named Ty Buttrey.
Oh, my God.
I just had to show you that before.
That's good. That's quality humor right there. I appreciate that.
I can't believe you didn't show that to me earlier, David. Wow.
No, I know they're a good pod. I'd been listening for a long time, but I was like, man, if we ever get Ty on, I was like, I got to show him that, so at least he knows about it.
That's funny, man. That was good.
Well, Ty, we thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us. I think you brought attention to something that really needs to be talked more about. And, you know, we hope that hopefully more people start talking about this, because it's something that needs to be addressed. And I don't think it's something that should be down the road. I think it's something that needs to be addressed ASAP. But before we get out of here, is there anything that you want to plug, you know, where they can find you, anything about Drip Social, anything that you'd like to plug to our audience?
DripSocial.inc. If you guys follow me, I'm sure you've been seeing me blast my story and my page.
He's on Clubhouse.
Yeah, I'm on. That's actually something I do want to plug. Drip Social, I want to stick. That's kind of a, you know, Sam and I's own little crazy thing we got going on. I do want to stick with baseball relevant. So, you know, I had some strong feelings about baseball in that letter, you know, talking about everyone knows saying how I didn't love the game. I did it for other people. You know, I'm talking about MLB and the things they could do wrong. I want to make sure that people still can come and learn and learn something, ask me questions about the game. I'm not here. I'm not the bearer, you know, the evil guy that's shitting on baseball 24/7. Like, I spent my life playing this game. I have tons of experience. I have tons of coaches. I have tons of knowledge that I have been waiting until I kind of get some things going, but that's what I'm doing on Clubhouse. So Clubhouse, it's actually the Behind the Lights. That's what my wife started. It's more of a sports-related company and brand. And so we get on Clubhouse, and I want kids and I want parents to, you know, join there every Thursday, 8 o'clock Eastern. Come on, and, like, literally, like, I have my coaches that help me get to the MLB. My dad, my high school coach, my pitching coach, my hitting coach, my best friend who competed against me, my wife who was there through it all, my mom. And, like, it's an open platform. Any kid, any parent that wants to ask a specific question, we will give you guys an answer, and we'll give you, you know, a whole thing. So Clubhouse, it's download the app, come on, join. We're going to be talking. And it's like, it's transparent talk. Like, it's not like it's just, it's real. It's authentic. It's to the point. It's unfiltered. So yeah, we got that going on Clubhouse. So you guys can find that on my Instagram profile page. So please come out, join the room, 8 p.m. every Thursday.
And make sure you're following him on Instagram. It's at Ty Buttrey, his name exactly spelled out. He only has 7,500 followers right now, so we definitely got to get that up there.
Got to get him up.
Yeah, we got to get him to 100K. 100K.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate that, guys.
Hey, and you're the best, man. We appreciate you coming back.